Hey everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we are celebrating Easter Sunday together. But before we can dive in and talk about what happened on that first Easter, we need to spend a little bit of time remembering what happened on the day that we in the church call Good Friday. And that's because on Good Friday, we were reminded of everything that is wrong with this world. But we're also promised when Easter Sunday comes that everything that's wrong with this world won't always be wrong with this world. So we get a choice to make. We can decide if we're going to be Good Friday people or if we're going to be Easter Sunday people. Now let's get right into this episode's sermon and see what you decide. This is the way that the Gospel of Mark, or Mark's biography of Jesus, recounts the story of what happened on Good Friday. Mark writes, "They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They crucified him. They divided up his clothes, drawing lots for them to determine who would take what. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Jesus. The notice of formal charge against him was written, 'The King of the Jews.' They crucified two outlaws with him, one on his right and one on his left. And people walking by insulted him, shaking their heads and saying, 'Ha, so you are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, were you? Save yourself. Come down from the cross.' In the same way, the chief priests were making fun of him among themselves, together with the legal experts, saying, 'He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross. Then we'll see and believe.' Even those who were being crucified with him insulted Jesus. From noon until 3 o'clock, the whole earth was dark. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?' After hearing him, some standing near said, 'Look, he's calling for Elijah.' Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a pole. He offered it to Jesus to drink, saying, 'Let Elijah come down and take him.' But Jesus let out a loud cry, and he died." These verses that we've just heard from the book of Mark, they remind us of everything that happened on Good Friday. And on that Friday, Jesus was betrayed by one of his closest followers and turned over into the hands of the powers that be. On that Friday, Jesus was abandoned by his closest friends, by his disciples, and he was left to stand alone as he was put on trial. On that Friday, Jesus was betrayed and rejected by the crowds that had cheered for him on Palm Sunday. On that Friday, Jesus was humiliated and he was tortured. On that Friday, Jesus was forced to carry his cross through the city streets of Jerusalem while the people that he walked past mocked him and spit in his face. On that Friday, Jesus hung on a cross and died. It's been almost 2,000 years since that Friday happened. But even though almost 2,000 years have passed, it doesn't feel like the world has changed that much sometimes. Because even though it's been 2,000 years almost since Judas betrayed Jesus, turned his back on Jesus, turned him over to the religious authorities, we still know what it feels like to be betrayed today. Even though it's been almost 2,000 years since the disciples all fled and left Jesus to stand alone before the authorities, we still know what it's like to feel like we're alone in this world too. Even though it's been almost 2,000 years since the crowd cried for Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus, we still know what it's like to be rejected. Even though it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus' guards draped that purple robe over his shoulders and forced that crown of thorns down upon his head, we still know what it's like to be humiliated. Even though it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus had to walk through the city streets of Jerusalem carrying his own cross as people spat on him along the way, we still know what it's like to be mocked and made fun of. Even though it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus' life was reduced to a pile of clothes that those guarding him gambled to obtain, we still know what it's like for our lives to be devalued today. Even though it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus hung on the cross and died, we still know what it's like to lose people that we love today. So as we think about what happened on Good Friday, it's easy for us to see everything that is wrong with this world. But in one of the most powerful sermons that I've ever heard preached, we're reminded that all that is wrong with this world won't always be wrong with this world. All that is wrong with this world won't always be wrong with this world. So let me pause right now and share this story that Dr. Tony Campola, who is a well-known preacher and teacher and author, shares about something that happened in a church he was serving in one Good Friday. Now, as Dr. Tony Campola starts out the story, he says, there were seven of us pastors that were on staff in this church, and we were all preaching back to back to back on Good Friday. And let me pause right here to say, y'all think it's hard to sit through one of my sermons sometimes? Imagine having to sit through seven of them in a row. But as he continues on, Dr. Campola says, when it was my turn to come up to the stage, it didn't take long before I rolled into high gear. And let me tell you, I was good. The longer I preached, the more the congregation turned into what I was saying. And the more they turned in, the better I got. So I kept getting better and better and better. I got so good at one point that I was about to sit down in the front row so I could take notes on myself. And when I got to the end of the sermon, that congregation, they broke loose. And I was thrilled to hear the shouts of hallelujah. And I was thrilled to hear the cries of joy from that crowd that day. So I kind of strutted back to my seat up on the stage, and I sat down by my pastor, and my pastor reached out with his hand. He reached down and squeezed my knee, and he said, you did all right. But you did all right? Did you hear me? Old man, do you need to replace the batteries in your hearing aid? Did you hear me? So I looked at him, and I said, you think you can beat me? You think you can top that today? You think you can do me in? He looked right back over at me with a smile on his face, and he said, son, you just sit back. I'm going to do you in. Well, I didn't think there was anybody in the world that could do me in that day. My sermon was so great, but as much as I hate to admit it, he did me in. And the worst part was he did me in with one line. For an hour and a half, he preached one line over and over again. For an hour and a half, he stood that congregation on its ear with one line. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Now that statement, it may not blow you away, but you should have heard him preach it. Because he started out real soft and low. And he said, it was Friday. And my Jesus was dead on a tree. But that was Friday. Sunday's coming. One of the deacons in the church shouted out, preach, brother, preach! That was all the encouragement that he needed. So he rolled into a little bit higher gear himself, and he got a little bit louder the next time, and he said, it was Friday, and Mary was crying her eyes out, and the disciples were running every which way like sheep without a shepherd. But that was Friday. Sunday's coming. By that point, the congregation understood where the message was going, so they started getting involved. Some of the ladies in the congregation were waving their hand in the air and saying, well, well, and some of the men started shouting out, keep going, preacher, keep going. And he kept going. He kept going, and he got louder, and he started to shout. It was Friday. And on Friday, the cynics were walking around saying, as things have been, so they shall always be. You can't change anything in this world. No, you cannot change a thing. But those cynics didn't know it was Friday. But Sunday's coming. It was Friday, and those powers that oppress the poor in our world, those powers that force the poor to suffer, they thought that Sunday's coming. It was Friday, and Pilate thought that he had washed his hands of a whole heap of trouble. And the Pharisees, they were walking around, they were strutting, they were smiling, they were poking each other's in the ribs, having a great old time because they thought they were back in charge. But those Pharisees didn't know it was just Friday. But Sunday's coming. Came with that line for a half hour. Then for an hour. Then for an hour and 15 minutes. Then for an hour and a half. Over and over again. It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. And by the time he was at the end of the sermon, I was exhausted. I don't know how he preached it. I was worn out. He had brought all of us to such a high level that day, I didn't know how any of us were going to make it much longer. But when he got to the end of the sermon, the preacher just reared back, and at the top of his lungs, he shouted, "It's Friday!" And the congregation in one accord said, "But Sunday's coming." That story alone is enough to make your heart beat a little bit faster, isn't it? That story's enough to make you want to cry out, Sunday's coming, even if you're not quite ready for your lips to move in church today. That sermon, that saying, that phrase is enough. It's enough to get your blood pumping, to get your heart thumping. It's enough to make you want to smile a little bit bigger. It's enough to make you want to sit up in your seats a little bit straighter. And it's all because that one little phrase, "but Sunday's coming," offers every single one of us something that we desperately need on the Fridays of our life. That phrase offers us hope. And when I say that that phrase, "but Sunday's coming," offers us hope, I don't mean that it offers us some unrealistic hope. Because this phrase, it's not rooted in some pie-in-the-sky optimism that things are going to turn out better. This phrase isn't about pointing you to some distant future that we all know is probably never going to come. This phrase isn't about wishful thinking. No, this phrase, "but Sunday's coming," it gives us hope that everything that is wrong with this world won't always be wrong with this world. Because Sunday's not just coming. Sunday came. Sunday's not just coming. Sunday came. And I want to share with you the story of what happened when Sunday came. So if you've got a Bible close by, let me encourage you to go ahead and grab it or pull it up on your phone and turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And as you're finding it, I'll just point out to you that the book of John, or the Gospel of John, is essentially a biography of Jesus. So as you read through the book of John, you're going to be able to read about Jesus' life and his ministry. You can read about his crucifixion. But I want us to focus in today on what happens in the Gospel of John when Sunday came. So let's take a look at John chapter 20 together. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Here's what John writes. "Early in the morning of the first day of the week, that Sunday, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, 'They've taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.' Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. And the angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned and she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." But Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters, telling them, I'm going up to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene left, and she announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." And then she told them what he had said to her. So when Sunday came, Jesus' tomb was found empty. When Sunday came, Jesus conquered the grave. When Sunday came, everything that was wrong with our world started to be made right. Because on Friday, Jesus may have been abandoned and betrayed by all of his followers. But on Sunday, when Sunday came, Jesus welcomed them back with open arms. On Friday, Jesus may have had to stand alone before his accusers because all of his disciples had ran away. But when Sunday came, Jesus united every one of us who will ever follow him. It's one body, one family, so that none of us ever has to stand alone again. On Friday, the crowd that once cheered for Jesus may have rejected him, but when Sunday came, God showed that he loves and accepts us all. On Friday, Jesus may have been humiliated, but when Sunday came, Jesus was glorified. On Friday, Jesus hung on a cross and he died. But when Sunday came, Jesus is alive. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here today on Easter Sunday. That's why we come together in this place week after week. We come together because Jesus is not dead and buried in a tomb somewhere halfway around the world. Jesus is alive and at work in our world and in our lives every single day. And because Jesus is alive, because Jesus is at work, we can have hope that everything that is wrong with our world is being made right and our world again the way that God intends for it to be. But you know what? This Sunday, Easter Sunday, it's not going to last forever. It's not going to be that much longer before this worship service comes to an end. It's not going to be that much longer before we cut off our internet feed. It's not going to be that much longer before we turn off the lights in the sanctuary for another week. It's not going to be that much longer before you go home and you start taking down all of your Easter decorations and you put up all of your fancy Easter clothes for another year. And when that happens, we're all going to be left with one big question that we have to be able to answer. And here it is. What day are you living in? What day are you living in?
Now, obviously, I don't mean that literally, because when you wake up tomorrow, it's going to be Monday morning. Jesus' resurrection didn't change the calendar for us. But when you wake up tomorrow, you get to decide if you want to live in a Friday kind of world. When you wake up tomorrow, you get to decide if you want to live in a world where you are overwhelmed by everything that is wrong with this world. When you wake up tomorrow, you get to decide if you're going to live in a world where you are overwhelmed by violence, where you are overwhelmed by hatred, where you are overwhelmed by the suffering, by the pain that happens all around us. You get to decide if you're going to be overwhelmed by a world that is filled with so much death and destruction. Or you can wake up tomorrow and decide that you want to live in a Sunday world. You can wake up tomorrow and decide that you live in a world where God is at work, fixing everything that is broken, bringing healing to every hurt, making right everything that is wrong with this world. And here's the best part. God wants you to help. God wants you to be a part of what he's doing in this Sunday world. So you get to decide if you are going to wake up in a world where, yes, there is hatred, but you're given the opportunity to love. You get to decide if you're going to wake up in a world where, yes, there is chaos and anxiety, but you can bring peace. You get to wake up tomorrow and you get to decide if you're going to live in a world where there may be plenty of things to despair about, but you have joy to share with those around you. You get to decide if you're going to wake up in a world tomorrow morning where everyone around you may seem to be selfish and self-centered, but you get to be selfless and help other people in their needs. You get to decide when you wake up tomorrow morning if you're going to live in a world where there are people that are hurting, but you have the chance to help them overcome those hurts. You get to decide. Because it's like Philip Yancey, who is a well-known Christian author, explains it and puts it at the end of a chapter that he writes about Jesus' resurrection in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew. Philip Yancey writes this. He says, there are two ways to look at human history, I've concluded. One way is to focus on the wars and the violence, the squalor, the pain, the tragedy, and death. And from that point of view, Easter feels like a fairy tale exception. It's a stunning contradiction done in the name of God. And yeah, that may give you some solace, although I would confess that when my friends have died, when people I love have died, the grief was so overwhelming that any hope in an afterlife seemed somehow thin and insubstantial to me. But there's a second way, another way to look at the world. If we take Easter as the starting point, if we take Easter as the one incontrovertible fact about who God is and how God treats those whom he loves, then everything else in history becomes the contradiction, and Easter becomes a preview of our ultimate reality. Then hope flows like lava beneath the crust of our daily lives. So to put it as simply as I can, what Philip Yancey just says here is, you can see this world as a Friday kind of world, or you can see this world as a Sunday kind of world. You can see this world as broken and flawed. You can see this world as a place that is filled with so much pain and suffering. Or you can see this world as a world where God is at work, where God is at work through pain and suffering, bringing comfort and relief, where God is at work with all of the brokenness that is happening to repair everything that is wrong with this world. But you get to choose. You get to choose the difference that Easter makes. Because one way or the other, Easter Sunday doesn't last forever on our calendar. It's 24 hours and the day comes to an end. But we, as followers of Jesus, are called to be Easter people every day of our lives. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this word of prayer, we are so grateful that Sunday came. Because God, you know, every single person that is sitting in the sanctuary today, every single person that can hear my voice right now, you know that every single one of us has moments in our lives where we can't help but be overwhelmed by everything that is happening in this world. When we look at this world, we see so much that is wrong, so much that is broken, and it's easy for us to want to lose hope. It's easy for us to be overwhelmed by that Friday world. But God, because of you, Sunday came. And because of that, because Jesus is not dead and buried in a tomb, because Jesus is alive, we can have hope that all of the brokenness, all of the hurt, everything that is wrong in this world and in our lives is not always going to be wrong. We can have hope that you are at work in our lives right now. No matter what it is that we're going through, no matter how hurt we may be, no matter how broken we may feel, no matter how wrong our lives may seem, you are at work, God, helping to fix what is broken, helping to heal what is hurt, helping to make us new. So God, even though we could never deserve it, even though we could never hope to earn it, thank you. Thank you for sending your son into this world. And after this world killed him, God, thank you for bringing him back to life. And thank you for giving all of us the hope that comes through Easter. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has challenged you to find ways that you can live in an Easter Sunday kind of world. Because God is at work in our world, and God wants you to help him as he works to make everything that is wrong with this world right again. God wants you to help him bring love where there is hatred. God wants you to help him bring peace where there is chaos. God wants you to help him bring joy where there is sorrow. God wants you to help him bring hope where there is despair. So be an Easter Sunday person. Live in an Easter kind of world and help bring God's kingdom to this earth. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, but I want to invite you to come back and join us next week when we start into a brand new sermon series. We're going to be working our way through a series of sermons called Before You Give Up. And throughout the series, we're going to be talking about things that we need to know to help us keep going when we're ready to quit. And let's just be honest here. There are times in all of our lives when we're ready to give up. So these are messages that we all need to hear. So you can come back and you can join us when our next episode drops next week, or you can come and worship with us on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. You can worship on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. We'd love to have you come and join us. Well, until next time, I hope that you have a great week. I'll be praying for you, and we'll see you back here soon for another Sermon Podcast.